بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله على حلمه بعد علمه ثم الحمد لله على عفوه بعد قدرته ثم الصلاة والسلام على نبيه صفيه وحبيبه أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين وروي في الخبر عن النبي الصادق الأبر أنه عليه الصلاة والسلام قال إن الصدقة لتدفئ غضب الرب وتدفع ميتة السوء وقال في مقام آخر يا بلال أرحنا بالصلاة أو كما قال سيدنا محمد صلوات الله وسلامه عليه صدق الله المولانا العلي العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Respected honorable senior ulama, beloved brothers, all praise is due to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala who has blessed us with a remarkable Nabi to be our role model. And Allah ta'ala blessed us with such a remarkable Nabi that every person who followed him and followed his footsteps became a role model. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't just bless us with a Nabi who was a role model. Allah blessed us with such a Nabi that whoever followed him also became a role model. And if we look in the lives of our elders, we'll find great lesson. There's an interesting incident in the life of Dr. Abdul Hayy Arifi rahimahullah. He was a Khalifa of Hazrat Thanwi rahimahullah. So one day he happened to be traveling from one place to another in India. And as they were traveling with this person who was their guide and was also controlling the cart on which they were traveling. So as they were moving for a certain distance, the skies looked clear, mashallah. But after a while, this guide told them, you know what, get off quickly. Get off the cart. So it was like, for what? He said, just get off the cart. I foresee there's going to be a very strong sandstorm that is going to hit this area. So get off quickly. So he said, okay, we got off from the cart. Now what do you do? So he said, if there's a strong storm, a wind storm that is going to come and hit us, probably a safe area to be would be to duck or to hide behind a tree. So I thought there was a huge tree there. Let me go and stand behind that tree. So as I was running and I was moving towards that tree, he called me back. He said, no, come back. Okay, come back now for what? He said, you know what, just come back because sometimes the storm is so strong that it actually uproots these trees. And if it uproots the tree, it can actually fall on you. So that could cause and lead to your death. Okay, fine, no problem. Now, so where and how do we secure ourselves in this open field? So he said, lay flat on the floor. Lay down as close as possible to the floor, lay as flat as you can. And then hopefully you'll pass, the storm will pass through you. So we laid for a while. And only after approximately maybe 15, 20 minutes did that storm come, which was extremely fierce, strong. The speed of the wind was strong. And it passed us. It took about 20 minutes to half an hour to pass us. Eventually he told us, okay, get up now. We can continue moving. So then we continued. So when Dr. Abdul Hayy Arifi rahimahullah was relating this incident, he said, I learned three important lessons from here. Now for us, it was a storm and a storm. Many people see storms in their homes with their wives also. Allah Ta'ala make us pass through it. So he said, what lesson do you learn from here? So, al-hikmatu dhalatul mu'min. Allah must grant us that gaze of iman. That whenever we see or experience things in our life, it can actually be a means of us rejuvenating our iman, strengthening our iman and getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says the first lesson that I learned from here, that it is important to have a guide in your life. Had we been traveling alone, we would never have known there was a storm coming here. But because this man was experienced, he has traveled through here before. He knew and he could foresee, not that he was blessed with ilmul ghaib in any way and he knew, he had knowledge of the unseen. But some people who travel, farmers can tell you when the birds fly in a certain direction, that they already foresee a storm or they can see a rain coming that way. So already that, he said, the first lesson I learned from here is that we must have a guide in life. When you have a guide in life and you're connected, It helps you save yourself from many problems. Many a times in life, Allah forgive us, we don't realize that certain storms are hitting us. Whether it's the storm of fitna, whether it could be the storm of laziness, whether it could be the storm of us falling back in deen. Maybe there was a brother who was coming in, mashallah, who was punctual with his salah. He was there from the time Adhan went, and he used to read his sunnah, and then after that he used to make his tilawat of Quran and engage in dua. Slowly, slowly, mashallah, his business started to grow. Now it took him a bit of a while to get out of the business. Now he came in, he still made it for takbir-e-ula. He said, no, shukr, alhamdulillah, I still get my takbir-e-ula. The business grew, and he attributed all this to his salah, thinking that, no, alhamdulillah, my business is growing because I'm punctual in my namaz. But later he became a masbuk, and he started missing one rakat, two rakats. Eventually he was making shukr that at least he was getting the salah. Many times, some of us, our target is I need to make it for salam. If I get salam, alhamdulillah, I know I got namaz with jamaat. But when you are connected to an alim, when you are connected to a sheikh, when you are connected to a mentor, then he picks up that, look, babe, you were coming early, what's happening now? I see, mashallah, when I turn after Asr Salah, I see you still masbuk, you know. You're standing up for masrakats before you were there from Takbir-e-Ula. So they will help us, especially for my young brothers out there. Stay connected, mashallah, this town is blessed with ulama. If you find yourself overwhelmed by the presence of senior ulama, connect yourself to a younger alim. But get connected. You see, a simple example of being connected is like a kite. When the kite is connected and is linked to that line that young boy is carrying at the bottom, holding at the bottom, that kite flies high. But let that connection snap. Let that line snap. Then eventually what happens, that kite, no matter how high up it is going to fall. So when you stay connected, Allah will make you progress in life. And don't ever think that if I'm connected to an alim, that I'll, in deen I might prosper, but it'll affect my dunya. My worldly life will get affected. Sometimes Allah forgive us, we think like that. Our young brothers, that if I, this alim will stop me from everything. Sayyidina Anas radiallahu anhu, at the prime of his life, from 9 to 19, lived with Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for 10 years. Allah blessed him spiritually, and Allah blessed him from a materialistic point of view. Allah gave him so much, he became one of the wealthiest people. Through the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for this young boy, and the age gap was big. Sayyidina Anas radiallahu anhu was 9 to 19, and that was when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away. That means the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was between 53 and 63. But the connection was there. Allah made him prosper in his deen. Allah made him prosper in his dunya also. So stay connected to an alim. Stay connected to your imam. It will help you. You will become part of his dua at tahajjud. That's a good young friend of mine who comes for salah. He meets me. That dua will take you far in life. You might be traveling somewhere, and on the bend you just, 2 seconds you miss the truck, or the truck passed you and you thought, I just got saved. And you thought, mashallah, your driving tactic is good. No, you don't know that that man's dua at tahajjud when you were sleeping protected you, now it kicked in. Like how we have ABS brakes, that dua kicked in now and it saved us. So stay connected. He said, that's the first lesson I learned. The second lesson that I learned from here was, sometimes where we see our solution is actually our destruction. I thought that I'll be saved at that tree, behind that tree, only to realize that that tree, and we saw it. He said, I witnessed certain trees being uprooted because of that severe wind. So sometimes where we see our solution actually is our destruction. Be very, very careful in this regard. That we always be careful. Sometimes you're going through a financial challenge and trial and difficulty in life, and you're not smiling to the bank, and your debit orders are far superseding your income. And Allah save us to live a simple life where we can live within our means. So now when you are living, and now you get an SMS or you get a message that tells you are approved for a loan, knowing well that that is going to be an interest-bearing loan, that you are now going to declare war with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it is sometimes so tempting, that is not going to lead to your solution, it's going to lead to your destruction. So sometimes where we think our solution is, and that is when you are connected to an alim, and that alim knows you, and he makes dua for you, and he's got your good welfare at heart. Now when you go to him and say, Maulana, I'm in this situation, I'm in this predicament, what do I do, how do I solve the problem? Help me out, find a way, then he'll guide you that is this a solution or is it leading to your destruction? This is very, very important to keep in mind and to understand that gaze of iman, that gaze of iman, it's not your intellect that can save you at that time. It is the gaze of your iman that will make you see this. And sometimes, outwardly it might seem like a solution. I give you a very interesting example. Now you are expecting some visitors, some guests, you know, and now your wife told you, please go and buy a certain amount of liters of milk, I need to make milkshake or whatever it may be, faluda, for the guest. And now, mashallah, when we get to the shop, we forget, you know. One brother, there is Indian grocer shop head, please, I will not take any instructions from any husband unless it is on a written note from the wife. Because Allah has given us a tendency sometimes to forget when we get to the shop. So now you bought less milk. And now, mashallah, when you come in there, you know what's coming your way. And your wife told you, but you know why you want to embarrass me and you bought less milk. Now you're trying to find a quick solution. Now you needed 8 liters of milk, you bought only 4 liters of milk. Now you need to find a way. So you thought now to increase this milkshake, what am I going to do? There's lemon juice in the fridge, let me throw it in here. So your quantity might increase, but you messed the whole bucket or the whole jar of milkshake is gone, is wasted. Your quantity increased, but the quality, now there's no usage out of that. This is a typical example of interest. Sometimes when we deal in interest, our digits increase. 6 becomes 7. 6 becomes 7, and the digits from thousands might go to tens or hundreds of thousands. You're thinking that I managed to upgrade my car now because I took a loan. But that is going to bring destruction into your home. It's going to take away the happiness of your home. It's going to take away the relationship that you had with your wife and your children. And now you can't realize and understand why are we fighting. What's causing these fights? We had so much of muhabbat. I bought a new car. We upgraded and we extended our home. You wanted the kitchen, I gave it to you. Now why are we fighting? Because the wrong ingredient has been brought into your home. Now when you threw that, you can't throw chilies into, because you're a spicy person, you can't throw chilies into your dessert. It's not going to work. You can't bring interest into your home. You are declaring war with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. You're creating problems. For our young brothers, remember the solution, we're going to talk about it, where your solution lies. So be careful. Don't think you can take a pill and get a thrill. Don't think you can take a pill and get a thrill or you can vape to escape. It's not going to get you out of your problems. The solution to your frustration lies in prostration. The solution to your frustration lies in prostration linked and complemented with Quran recitation. Bring prostration into your salah. Bring Quran recitation into your life. You will see how Allah will solve your problems miraculously. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take us. And that brings us to the third lesson, as Dr. Abdul Hayy Arifi rahimahullah ta'ala explains. He says the third thing he told us is get to the ground. Get to the ground means we learn from there our solution lies in prostration in front of Allah. Our solution lies in sajda. Our solution lies where Allah has kept it. That man who bows down to Allah can stand up to any challenge in life. That man who bows down to Allah can stand up to any challenge in life. That man who refuses to bow down in front of Allah will buckle under pressure at every time. When we read 2 rakats of salah and we drop our heads in humility and in desperation in front of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, we're showing Allah we need of Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates avenues for our solution. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates emergency exits for us from every difficulty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mends our relationships that have broken with our parents. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates solutions to every problem. Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to tell Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala, Ya Bilal, rihna bis salah. That is, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to find a certain type of contentment, happiness, peace of mind, relaxation of the mind, peace of heart through salah. It's amazing. Badr, we all heard, and mashallah, the whole incident of Badr was discussed in this masjid. The turning point in Badr was the salah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam the night prior to Badr. So you and I will also have certain challenges in life, certain wars we'll have to fight, certain big challenges we will face. The solution to that is in salah. Last week, Hazrat Ismail Sahab was mentioning an amazing point. He said, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us different salah for different occasions. You got a big decision to make in life, read Salatul Istikhara. You in difficulty, read Salatul Hajah. You've solved your problems, you've come out of your difficulty, read Salatul Shukr. You're starting your day, read 2 rakat Salatul Ishraq. You want to talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, read Salatul Tahajjud. By Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam showing us different salah for different occasions, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us as an ummah that your solution to your whole life and all the challenges in life lies in your salah. On the most happiest occasion when a man just gets married, on the most happiest occasion when a man just gets married and now he meets his bride, on that occasion also Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, read 2 rakats of salah. Teaching us, in your happiest of moments, don't forget Allah. In your most difficult moments, don't forget Allah. When you are sad, don't forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you're facing the most difficult trials, don't forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are solutions to our problem. Number one, he said, the first lesson I learned from you, have a guide in life. The second lesson is we must look with the eyes of iman. That sometimes where we think our solution lies, actually can lead to our destruction. He said the third lesson that I learned from here is the solution to our problem lies in salah. And let me add on in a very humble way, 1/4 lesson I think we can learn from here is that every person, from the richest to the poorest, from the healthiest to the most ill, every person, don't be deceived by people's smiles. Don't be deceived by the cars people drive. Don't be deceived by a man who looks happy. Every man has challenges in life. But remember, the storm will pass. Remember, the storm will pass. Every man got his own challenges in life. Sometimes you look at this man and you think, wow, mashallah, I wish I could be like him. Talk to him 5 minutes and he'll pour his heart out to you. And then you'll want to read, Alhamdulillah, alladhi afani mimma btalaka bi. You know, Allah Pak, save me from your problems. Allah, you keep your problems, let me keep mine. Mine is small compared to yours. Really, I'm telling you. So every man has his challenges. But remember, in this life, nothing remains forever. Every storm will pass. You will go through it. How many times we hear a young man when he comes out of the examination room, writing one of the most difficult papers, he makes one dua, you just say, him saying, Allah shukr, it's over. Allah shukr, it's over. So you'll also one day make shukr that it's over. Let it not compromise your final destination of happiness and sadness. To my young brothers, this is my last message that I share with you. You will face challenges in life. You will go through trials and tribulations in life. You will go through tests of life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to teach us how to react and how to respond to different tests and trials and tribulations in life. Allah's most beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam experienced the most difficult hardship. He experienced the most difficult hardship. Our Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam never became depressed. Our Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam never resorted to inappropriate forms of response. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's every trial and tribulation brought him closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The lesson that I want to mention here in the end, for me and for every one of us that is sitting here, is that that test will pass. The only time happiness will last forever or misery will last forever is Jannah and Jahannam. The only time happiness will last forever or sadness and misery will last forever is Jannah or Jahannam. Don't compromise that everlasting, permanent happiness for a short, temporary period of happiness in this dunya. Be careful, be on your guard. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it possible for me to practice whatever I've said. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it a means of inspiration for every one of us. The 4 lessons that we learned, just to complete the bayan. One is, Remember, try and get connected and have a guide in your life. Stay connected to any alim who you know this alim will take you closer to Jannah. The second lesson that we learn from here, be careful, look with the eye of Iman. Sometimes where you think your solution lies can actually lead to your destruction. The third lesson that we learn, the solution to your frustration is in prostration and Quran recitation. And the last lesson that we learn is that every storm will pass eventually. It must bring us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin.